Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. You know, in a minute, we're going to turn the services over to Pastor Reynolds as he continues the series about the people involved with Jesus' crucifixion. However, before we get started with the message, we want to remind you that all of the prior radio broadcasts are available on our website if you'd like to go back and review any of them. Now, that website address is www.independencebaptist.org, and from there you just simply need to go into the audio section and look for radio broadcasts. And I would encourage you to also pass along that message to others that you feel would benefit from hearing these messages, or maybe that you think would just be interested in them. Be sure and let them know about that webpage as well so they can go listen to them also. Now, for this morning, let's go ahead and get back to Brother Wayne and the message about the thief on the cross.
The past few Sunday mornings, we preached to you concerning some of the people that had to do something with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We preached about Simon of Cyrene. We preached about Barabbas. We preached also about Pontius Pilate, and then Judas Iscariot. There is much, much more just to look at about the people that were involved and the things that happened to Jesus Christ as he was dying on the cross. And one of the things that we like to look at this morning is the thief on the cross. The Bible says in the book of Luke 23, verse 42 and 43, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Wow. The thief on the cross was saved while he was on the cross. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 1, in verse number 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Is this not the truth? That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to call righteous people to salvation, but Jesus Christ came into this world to call sinners unto repentance. And for this reason, Jesus Christ died between transgressors. In Isaiah 53, in verse number 12, the Bible prophesies this about Jesus Christ: "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." This passage, Isaiah 53, in verse number 12, was written 700 long years before the actual death of Jesus Christ. And yet, this passage is fulfilled just as Jesus Christ said that it would. But why did God want his only beloved son to even perish between two thieves? Wasn't it enough for Jesus Christ to come into the world and there to take the form of a man? Wasn't that enough? It's not enough. Jesus Christ would have to die on the cross of Calvary. Why did God say it was necessary for Christ, who is the absolute perfect one without any sin at all, why did God say that he wanted his only son to die between two thieves? You see, it is no accident that Christ was actually crucified between two thieves. I know that those that crucified Christ were trying to show that he was just another thief, that he was getting the due reward of his deeds. But there are no accidents in a world that is totally, completely controlled by God. God directed Christ to be crucified between two thieves to show us that God is in control of the crucifixion. That nothing, absolutely nothing, is left to chance, because everything is controlled by God. One thief was saved on the cross. The other thief was not saved on the cross, which revealed that salvation is freely offered to all, regardless of the situation they are in or regardless of what they have done. When it was decided to crucify Christ between two thieves, I believe that the Pharisees intended to show that Christ was no different from any other person. I believe they wanted to visibly show that Christ was just like those two thieves. I believe they intended to show that Christ was no good at all, that he never did anything worthy for the whole community. I believe they intended to show that Jesus Christ should die for his own sins, and he was an example that anybody that follows him would also perish just as he's perished. But whoever it was that decided to crucify Christ between two thieves did not know that Christ would eternally save one of the thieves on that day. You see, nothing is left to chance by God. He controls everything that happens. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse number 3. This Bible verse states, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Jesus Christ, you see, was despised as a man. He was hung between two thieves to show that man really and honestly despised him. But notice again, Christ was not only despised, he was also rejected. John 19, verse 19, reveals that Jesus had a title written by Pilate, which said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And this title they placed above the cross, on the cross, so that all could see. This title was true. Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. But the Jews had rejected him as their king and had crucified him between two thieves as if he were a common criminal. The devil thought he had everything going his way, but he was wrong. The devil was unknowingly yielding to God's power because he was doing everything that had been prophesied that he would do. Think of this. The salvation of the thief on the cross is used by God to refute those who would say that Christ was helpless as he hung on the cross. Christ was far from being helpless. Christ still had the power to save souls. And he did save the thief's soul. If Christ had the power to save a soul while he was dying on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ can do anything at all. Because nobody can save themselves or do anything to cause God to love them. Notice a few things concerning the people who had been with Christ before his crucifixion. Luke 22 in verse 54 through 62. Reveals that Peter had denied the Lord three times. Matthew 26, 56 shows that all of Christ's disciples forsook him and fled for their own safety. Matthew 26, 34 reveals that Christ was tried at night, which was against the law. John 19, verses 1 through 3 states that Pilate beat Jesus with a cat of nine tails. And the soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe on his body and mocked him. Jesus Christ stood before this court of Pilate and Herod. Both of these men confesses that they could find nothing at all wrong with any of the things that Jesus Christ preached or declared. Matthew 26, verse 19, reveals that Pilate's wife even told Pilate not to have anything at all to do with Jesus because of some dreams she had. I think it was more than nightmares than dreams. But Christ was taken anyway. Barabbas was released. Jesus was taken to Golgotha, where he was stretched out on a cross and a nail driven through each hand and each foot. Then they raised the naked body of Christ high in the air for all to see his shame. Does this present a picture of weakness or of strength? To the human eye, it looks like weakness and not strength. To humans, it looks like God had been defeated. It looks like the devil is going to be victorious over God. But in the midst of all of this, Jesus Christ saved a sinner from the burning flames of hell. Notice also that the thief was saved before the 3 hours of darkness. The thief was saved before the triumphant cry, "It is finished," that Christ said on the cross. He was saved before the veil was rent. He was saved before the quaking of the earth. He was saved before the centurion's confession that truly this is the Son of God. The thief saw salvation in Jesus Christ because he was at the end of his strength. He was at the end of his ability to do anything at all to make his situation any better. That is why he trusted Christ. And this is exactly when salvation came to him. It is also the exact time salvation comes to us. When we can't do anything at all that will be accepted by God, then salvation comes to us. When we are faced with a situation that we cannot control, and we are completely helpless to fix whatever's happening to us, that is when we completely trust Christ, and that is when God gives us His grace, that's unmerited favor, and we find peace before God. We often think that we must understand a lot of vital doctrines before we can ever be saved, but that is not so. All we have to do is to admit to God that we are lost and cannot help ourselves, and then trust Christ. And stop trusting whatever good thing we might do. And Christ gives us salvation. It is His gift that comes to us. As I speak this, I think of Clem Ireland. I met Clem Ireland as a young preacher when I was pastoring my first church. Clem Ireland was an older man at the time. He was in the hospital when I first met him. He had diabetes, very, very bad diabetes. He had already lost a foot because the disease was slowly eating away at his body. They couldn't keep it under control at all. They took off his foot. I visited him several times in the hospital there at Robeson, Illinois. I told him that Christ loved him, and all he had to do to be eternally saved was to talk to God and tell God exactly what he felt. I explained to him that repenting that he was a sinner, that is, to recognize before God that God was right and we were wrong, and believing in Christ was all a person had to do to be eternally saved. He wasn't saved when I was talking to him. I visited with him on several different occasions. I talked to him every time I went, but he wasn't saved when I was talking to him. But one time at night, his wife told me this. He said, right out of the blue, he told his wife, "Everything is going to be all right." She asked him what he meant. He told her again, "Everything is going to be all right." She was greatly puzzled by what he said. And he told me exactly the same thing. "Everything is going to be all right. I'm all right now." That's what he told me. Clem Ireland, you see, had never been to church. He didn't know any doctrines of the church at all. He was a lot like the thief on the cross, because I doubt the thief on the cross had ever been to any religious exercises at all. At least there's no record given in the scriptures of him ever going. But the thief on the cross, like Clem Ireland, had nothing at all to bring before God. Pointing to that good thing and saying to God, "Look at all the good that I've done." Instead, Clem Ireland just simply trusted the Lord, recognizing that he was a sinner and believing that Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is simply admitting to God that we have done nothing at all that would cause him to love us. Then trusting in the goodness of God to save unworthy sinners. If you're trusting in anything at all except Christ, there's coming a day when you will stand before God and you will proclaim all the good things you have done. And Christ will say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In John 3, in verse number 8, Jesus Christ was speaking to Nicodemus when he said, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, you see, was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. But he could not rely on his position to get him into heaven. Nicodemus was required to repent and believe the everlasting gospel to be saved. We are also required to repent and believe the gospel, the everlasting gospel, before we can ever be saved. Surely, we don't understand the power of God, even to know when it is possible for a person to be saved. We never know when or how God is using His Holy Spirit to convict a lost person of his sins. Now, let us take a look at the thief himself. Before the believing thief was gloriously saved, he was like everybody else. Matthew 27:44 states, The thieves, that's plural, the thieves, both of them, also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. You see, at first, neither of the thieves saw any good in Jesus. At first, neither of the thieves thought that Jesus Christ could save himself or them from death, much less save their eternal souls, until the Holy Spirit touched the soul of one of the thieves. Then let me read to you. Matthew 23:39 through verse 43 states this, And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But notice in verse 40, Luke 39:40, But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And then he turned and said to Jesus Christ in verse 42, And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. In verse 43, And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, the word verily there means truly I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This passage reveals that both thieves saw exactly the same thing. Both thieves had mocked Christ. Both thieves were under the same righteous condemnation. But the Holy Spirit of God came to one of the thieves, and Jesus saved his eternal soul. The lesson in all this for us is that lost people are in exactly the same condition as the thief. They are away from God. They are headed for an eternity in hell. And all that a person has to do is repent for what they are, trust Jesus Christ, and allow Him to save their unworthy soul. Now, I know that some people that listen to me would say, I'm not a thief. Listen to Romans 12 and verse number 1. This verse states this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I know that Romans 12, verse number 1, is written to save people. But listen, if you have ever stole anything, or even had one bad thought, or even said one bad thing about anybody, or ever sinned at all, then you are just exactly like the thief, and you need the blood of Christ to cleanse you from your sins. Isaiah 1, verse number 18 through verse 20 states, Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins, that's a plural word, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You see, the thief was not saved until he had come to the place where he knew that he could do nothing to have himself. I think that's just human nature. We always want to help ourselves. We always want to build up ourselves. But the thief had come to the place in his life that he could not do anything at all to help himself, especially as far as eternity is concerned. The thief came to know that only Jesus Christ could save his eternal soul. Then Jesus did save him. Notice also that the thief said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." The thief knew in his mind that Jesus was the Son of God, but that didn't save him. As long as the thief refused to repent, as long as the thief trusted in anything he had done or intended to do, he would remain lost. But when the thief gave up on all of that, and when the thief came to know Jesus Christ as Son of God in his spiritual heart, he was saved by the grace of God. The thief actually came to the place where he knew he could do nothing at all to save himself. He could not get down from the cross and do any good thing. The thief could not go and join the church. The thief could not be baptized. The thief could not even do one work because he could not get down from the cross. He knew trusting in his good deeds was useless. He knew salvation was a free gift that Jesus Christ could and would save him. This is why the thief said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." This is why the thief had another mind about himself, and he trusted in Jesus Christ. James 2:19 states this, "Thou believest that there's one God, thou dost well." Then the Bible says, "The devils also believe and tremble." You see, it is not enough to believe in one God, because the devils believe in one God, yet they tremble before an almighty and holy God. You may know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is able to save you. But if you don't repent, if you don't have another mind about yourself, if you don't have a change of heart, if you don't trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. You will die in your sins and you will spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Don't go there. Listen. Jesus Christ offers salvation to you today. Just like the thief on the cross, he had done absolutely nothing at all to deserve it. He had nothing to earn it. He was a sinner in the sight of Almighty God. But Jesus Christ saved his unworthy soul. And that is the way that Jesus Christ can also save you. Just trust Jesus Christ and let him save your unworthy soul. Notice some things the thief realized about himself and about Christ. The thief believed in a future life. He believed in a future judgment because he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You see, the Bible said the thief knew that Jesus was dying for him and that Jesus would live again because he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He, the thief, in the very last moments of his life, had a deep spiritual belief and fear of Almighty God. He repented. That is, he had a change of mind about himself. He knew he was a sinner. In Luke 23, and verse 40 and 41, he says, "Thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." He was genuinely sorry for his sins before God. He was not just sorry that he got caught. He believed in life after death, as he knew he was dying and he would be going someplace after he died. He believed in memory after death as well, because he asked Christ to remember him. He did not ask to be preferred, but remembered, which shows his humility and his submission to whatever God desired for him. He recognized that Christ was sinless and innocent, even though Jesus Christ had gone through two mock trials at night. Luke 23, verse 41, declares that one thief said to the other thief, "This man hath done nothing amiss." He saw, you see, that Christ was king. He saw all of the finality of the judgment. He said, "When thou comest into thy kingdom." One thief believed that Christ had a kingdom. The other thief evidently did not believe that Christ even had a kingdom at all. He believed in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Luke 23, verse 42 states, "When thou comest." So he believed a lot of things that was absolutely, totally, and indelibly true. But notice Christ's answer. Jesus Christ said to this thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Jesus Christ did not tell this man, "You got to be baptized before you can ever be saved." Jesus Christ did not tell the man, "You got to join the church before you ever be saved." Jesus Christ did not tell the man, "You got to live a good life before you can ever be saved." Jesus Christ did not tell the man, "What good deed do you have?" No, Jesus Christ didn't say any of that. He said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This is also tells us something else, that Jesus Christ knew that he would die that very day. He also knew that the thief would also die on that very day. The Bible says that Jesus died when he said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost on that very day. But the Bible says that right after that, they came to break the legs of the two thieves so that they would also die on that day. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. Listen, we've preached about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross of Calvary. Today, if you're lost, we'd urge you to trust him. Don't trust anything you've ever done. The Bible states in the book of Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, that there's going to be a lot of people that trust in what they do. But don't trust in what you do. Because if you trust in what you do, you'll always wind up short. But I tell you what, you can always trust Jesus Christ. Today, if you're lost, I pray that you might repent, that you might have a change of mind about yourself, and a change of mind about God, and that you might be eternally redeemed by the grace of Almighty God. He can wash away your sins. He can save your unworthy soul. And he can make you happy in this life. We pray for you. If there's any way that I, as pastor of Independence Baptist Church, can be a help to you, I will do what I can. I will show you places in the Scriptures that you can be saved. I pray for you that God will bless.
You know, the story of the thief on the cross is honestly one that shakes me to the core each and every time I hear it. And in all honesty, I am no better than the thief on the cross. But how wonderful to know that Jesus Christ made a way for me to have forgiveness and pardon. And that mercy that God has shown is beyond belief. And I am so thankful that he saved the thief on the cross to show me that even I could be saved. You know, and we want to thank you, Brother Wayne, for taking this message and sharing it with us and talking to us about the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ hung between the two thieves and why the Lord saved that thief on the cross. Now, as we come down to the close of the message this morning, we do want to once again remind you of our service times. Today we'll be meeting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 worship services. Our building, of course, is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestville, Missouri, and we would be absolutely thrilled to have you come by and join us for services this morning. Now, for those of you that may not have been able to get out or can't get out, I would encourage you to go to this website address. It's www.sermonaudio.com/IBC. From there, you can listen to all the full-length sermons that are preached at Independence Baptist Church. Again, that's sermonaudio.com/IBC. Well, we do need to wrap things up this morning, but we want to thank you again for listening, and we look forward to joining you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.